Welcome back to Where's My Mind, the few faithful listeners I probably still have after my long intermission of arrogance and confusion that I was in, and also blissfulness and happiness and anger and all these emotions, every emotion in the book. Here I'm going to discuss the shadow side, what I know of at least, my shadow side, my own true self. That the deep dark secrets that I hide from my fucking self, man, right? Like, we don't often realize our shadow sides, okay? We don't even know they're happening. We can steal them from ourselves, okay? And they come out and we black them out. We forget that they even came out. So here I want to discuss my shadow side and in a way hopefully describe it to you of what it is, using me as myself as an example, because I don't have anybody to interview. I don't talk to people. Like, I'm pretty introverted, so like, I don't like have like guests and stuff like that. But you know, I talk about myself, and I use myself as an example. I become the most vulnerable I can be, because I feel that the best way to express it and show what it truly is, anything, show any emotion truly is to describe how I feel it, how I experience it. Me being an INFP, NHSP, and a BPD person, that is INFP personality type, highly sensitive person, and borderline personality disorder, which is a range of things that creates the most intense emotions you can imagine. I feel more deeply, painfully, and passionately than anybody else I know. Then I can express it to you the best way possible, I think. So take what you can from it. This is the shadow side episode of Where's My Mind? Chevy Coon, here we go. Wee. I once told my son, who is now 8 years old, that if I were to give him one piece of advice, it would be to question everything. What I want to question now is my, and I want you to question your, shadow side. The shadow side is something you might have heard of amongst YouTube videos or podcasts about psychology, but how many of you have actually experienced it? The shadow side being the deepest, darkest side of you. And when I say darkest, I mean darkest, okay? I had unhindered my shadow side with my ex-wife. Not with my ex-girlfriend, but then again, just recently, the true, not just anger. My ex-wife was more of a borderline personality rage, okay? But with my boyfriend, Matthew, this last relationship, I exhibited my true shadow side. So what I've learned about the shadow side and what I did myself, okay? So the shadow side is based in fear. If you've all seen Donnie Darko, there's a scene where Jake Gyllenhaal stands up to the teacher and says there's so much more to life than just fear and love. Well, that's true, but everything in life is categorized under those two, well, categories of fear and love. And there's subsequent subcategories. It just goes on and on. But fear and love is the true basis of all human nature. Okay? And so this is what I've learned. This is my journey. Okay? So it's like the shadow side is dark. It's a dark and elusive part of us that we are usually unable to recognize. We are unaware of it. It's concealed until it comes out. And even after it comes out, we don't realize that we've done it. It takes an incredible amount of deep introspection to realize what our shadow side was. I myself am lucky and unlucky enough to have that level of introspection. Sometimes, not always. So, looking back on the previous relationship, so I remember that the entire summer, Matt fucked with me hard. He damaged me. Permanently, I believe. I don't think I'll ever quite recover from it. Because I was never so obsessed with somebody. The obsession, obsessive love is still love. I will argue that to the core. Obsessive love is still love. Love comes in many forms. You can't say it's not love because it's obsessive. That's fucking bullshit. And I'm not saying that because of myself, I'm saying that about anybody. Like, you can have hateful love. You can, as oxymoronic as it sounds, you can have that. You can have adorement love, you know, you have love for your children, love for your, there's so many different types of love, okay? yes, it wasn't forever will be obsessive love. I can't break free of it. And I resented and despised him for what happened last summer. I despised him and loved him at the same time. That sounds contradicting, and it is, but it can happen. Contradictions are not impossible. You can be both fear and love at the same time. You can be both fear and love at the same time. So, I'm not going to go into the specific details of what happened, because I feel like that would violate mine and his privacy, and would just be about old matters that don't need to be discussed. The specifics that don't need to be discussed. However, though, the things that happened, the events prior to the breakup of June 2022, and the events during and after the breakup of June 2022, were all equally fucking traumatic, man. And so, like, how do I say this? It scarred me. Slug from Atmosphere can be quoted saying, "I wear my scars like the rings on a pip. I live my life like the captain of a sinking ship." If you know what those metaphors mean, first one says that I'm very obvious about my damage. My damage is visible all over me. And the second line states that when I feel like my life is falling apart, I'm going to self-sabotage and take myself down with it. I'm going to destroy myself. And so last June I went through, if you listen to any of the episodes, you could ramble on about it. I went through tons of emotional turmoil, blah, 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 okay. So, shadow side. We get back together. I admit to him in late August that I finally opened up to him and become vulnerable. I video chat and cry and tell him that I think about him every day, every morning that I wake up and every night that I go to sleep, I think about him. I think about him every morning I wake up and every night that I go to sleep. Okay, that's fair. So, within 2 weeks, he tells me that he's planning on moving back to Maine. Okay, and I accept it. But I'm not over the hurt. So my shadow side came out. When he came back, I took advantage of the situation. I was manipulative. I was a dark empath. I said things that did not seem hurtful that would hurt. They were so well guised that they did not seem hurtful, but they damaged, they caused impact. And I would not let him speak. I would not let him get his point across. I would force my point across the table and not accept his, you know? So like, I was blind to what I was doing. We can't control what we don't understand. We can't control what we don't understand. And I was blind to what I was doing. I didn't see that I was causing so much destruction and havoc in the relationship. This time, he came back with guilt. He came back out of guilt and love. And I destroyed that. The shadow side comes from a place of pain. You have to experience suffering, a deep level of suffering, to get the side to come out. And then you have to introspect to realize it, okay? So, there has to be some kind of merger of an encounter and a reaction. So there's an encounter. Something happens to you, okay? Something bad, really bad happens to you. And you react to it in a way you will at the time. In my case, it was like a month-long breakdown followed by complete stoicism. It should have been in June. July was all over the fucking place. Come August, I was stoic. I had my brain had a natural defense mechanism of becoming completely emotionless, only based solely on logic. So I was unaware of my actions. Actually, I was more aware than people would realize because I was so logical. I was very introspective in the moment. Normally, I am introspective retroactively. I retroactively introspect. And this time, I was introspective in the moment. I was aware of what I was doing. I was hurting people around me and the ones closest to me in August because the hurt had happened, the pain had happened, and my brain did not know how to comprehend it. Okay, most people think, okay, it's a breakup, yeah, whatever. No, you don't understand how deeply I feel. I can pull things like, I'm an INFP type, I'm a highly sensitive person, I'm borderline personality disorder, and these things all do matter, they all do matter. However though, I am me, and I was hurt so deeply in a way that I cannot even express in words. I literally cannot express it in words. Please do not doubt me. I was fucked up in the head, okay? And I just became a shell. I had pursued some relationships. One person met me once, and it was nice. Another person I was actually actively pursuing a relationship with, but I didn't think it would work. He was a wonderful person, but I could not see us in a relationship together. I just couldn't see that. And that got me stuck. But at the same time, so to my local friends, I was a negative asshole. I was getting in trouble at work. I was doing a lot of methamphetamine. I was smoking a lot of weed. Actually, I wasn't smoking that much weed. That's so good. I was drinking way more alcohol. So the level of meth use and drinking had increased a lot. And I was becoming an asshole. I still slept most of the time. I ate, that's for sure. I maintained weight. And you know what? I drank enough fucking water. And I took multivitamins too. But to the people around me, I didn't care what they said. I wanted to hurt. I wanted to hurt innocent people. I was becoming a dark empath where I was using the dark triad of Machiavellianism, psychopathy, and narcissism. Okay? Narcissism was the least of them all. Mostly Machiavellianism, actually. Psychopathy was there, but psychopathy being that I was becoming almost sociopath. I was becoming numb to the emotions of others. I didn't care how they felt. I only cared how the people felt because my feelings were hurt so deeply, and yes, I feel very deeply. I'm an HSP. This is where HSP comes in, because I'm a highly sensitive person, because I felt it more deeply than most people would. So I didn't care how people felt anymore, because my feelings have been shattered. Okay, that's the sociopath part. And then you take the Machiavellianism, which is where Machiavellianism basically means that you believe that nice guys finish last. You have to be an asshole to succeed. To get ahead in life, you have to be an asshole. And I was a fucking asshole. Because I felt nobody can hurt me. If I'm an asshole to everybody, then nobody can hurt me. It was a defense mechanism, okay? And then, of course, there's the narcissism, which is where, in this case, it was more just like, I'll do whatever I need to do to get ahead. Like, that's more my realism. But I guess I was trying to value myself as a good person, and I did work on self-growth. I did. Throughout all this, I still worked on self-growth. And I felt that, like, I was higher up than everybody else. I was more better than they were, because I was doing self-growth better than they were, or they weren't doing it at all, or they just were themselves, and, like, there had to have been a flaw in them, because it's just awful flaws to me to have had this terrible loss and suffering and pain in my life. Honey, I lost my wife for 7.5 years, and this is almost equal, if not worse than that, this was. Because he also slept with every guy in town, in the state, and shoved it in my face. But we're not going to go into it more than that. So my shadow side was the dark empath. Yeah, that's my shadow side. That's my shadow side. I am a strong empath. I believe that I can understand people's feelings. I can feel people's feelings. If I put my hand on somebody's shoulder, that's the thing. Looking in the eyes is one thing. It's powerful. But when I put my hand on their shoulder, I can feel their emotions. And very few people do I feel comfortable enough with the hand on that shoulder. Now, one thing about being a dark empath is that it's mostly about cognitive empathy. I can switch between an empath, an actual empath, and a dark empath, depending on how threatened I feel, how threatened my emotions feel, okay? So, like, if my emotions feel particularly threatened, like I feel like I'm going to get deeply hurt, okay? Yeah, I'll switch to that cognitive empathy, which is where I analyze. And when I feel like I might possibly be in danger, like there's a possibility of it, I'm talking to somebody, like say I was talking to a certain person last night that's very meaningful to me. That's not their names. So I'm talking to a very certain person, and I'm avoiding looking at them at all while I'm talking to them, because I'm trying not to analyze. This is the more intellectual empathy, okay? This is the psychoanalysis like a therapist would do, where I'm not actually feeling it, but I'm understanding it. I'm seeing it and I'm understanding it. Hold on, quick food break, my food's ready. Real quick, if we're having a conversation, especially an emotional one, or any kind of conversation, and I look away from you, either one, my hearing isn't doing very good, two, I'm scared of you, and I'm too intimidated to look you in the eye, or three, I respect you, and I'm trying not to analyze you and hear your words and feel your words. Because otherwise I'll hear your words and I will analyze your facial expressions, I analyze your body language, your shoulders, your eyebrows, etc. And I will understand but not feel what you're feeling. If I can touch you, I can feel it. So what causes the shadow side? Well, I just listened to a recording that I made literally 1 week ago today, and I have found out that I, in my drunken stupor state, probably on more than one, I actually addressed exactly what causes the shadow side. I addressed it perfectly, so here we go. This is an older recording, a 1 week old recording, which I forgot I even made. And this is it. Well, I am not a great person. In fact, throughout my life, I've done numerous things that have harmed other people. I have hurt other people in ways of physical and emotional pain. I have manipulated. I have strung people along. I have used others for personal gain. And I've been a dick here and there throughout my life. But haven't we all, though? Like, who hasn't? I mean, yeah, you have your, like, goody-two-shoes that apparently have done nothing or can do nothing wrong, but even them, they're probably the least most innocent out of all of us. Because they're the ones that, like, you know, like, disowned a gay brother or something like that, or did something that, like, you know, has hurt somebody on a deeper level that's less prominent. I think that, honestly, that the worst pain you can inflict upon somebody is the kind of pain that is done under the skin, underneath all the layers. It's like, where am I even going with this? Where am I going with this topic? I think it's the fact that I feel hurt. I feel hurt by others, and sometimes I get back at them. I try to hurt them back, but in very subtle ways. And I think that can be the worst kind of pain you can do. It's like, that's kind of what's being done to me. It's like, so I had two friends, really. I had two friends. I had Nicole, as everybody's heard me mention before, and she's even in some of the earlier episodes of this podcast. You can hear her recording with me. And then I had Matthew. And by the way, yes, you can tell I have laryngitis. My throat's a bit fucked up. I had an incident the other night where, let's say that I raised my voice a bit too much, and look what happened. Yay. I'm amazed that the cops were called. So, yeah, I have some crazy cop-calling neighbors. They hear one loud noise after, like, fucking 10 p.m. They start calling the cops. It's just past midnight right now. Now on the December 2nd. I'm amazed they haven't called them yet. Just by me listening to some grindcore music a bit louder than most people would probably like. But still, not too loud that they shouldn't really hear it at all. Barely hear it whatsoever, I bet. So it's like, So what am I rambling on about tonight? Today, I want to talk about how we hurt the ones we love the most, the deepest. And we do it in subtle manipulative ways. So, for example, I know for a fact that Matthew has been getting into this apartment while I've been at work. He has the other set of keys. And the last time that I proposed getting those keys back from him, he guilted me about it. Yes, he did. He tried to make me feel bad about, I should give Matt the keys because he doesn't belong here. Well, maybe you're kind of saying that about yourself because you're the one that refuses to come here if I'm even home. So, like, now that could be easily construed as I'm doing something harassing when he's here or something. Maybe I am. I'm not realizing it. Maybe I am. But he won't tell me if I am. He won't tell me. And we can't fix things if we don't know what the problem is, correct? So, picture this. So, somebody says that there's a reason they can't be around you. There's something wrong that they don't like, that they don't want to be around you for, okay? So you ask what it is, and they won't tell you. They won't tell you. Yet they expect you to fix the problem without telling you what exactly the problem is. Is that really plausible? Is that really reasonable? So, like, what's wrong with me? I think it's the fact that, honestly, I still can't get over him, and I still wish I could have snuggle time with him.
So, like, honestly, my biggest resentment about Matthew is that I no longer get held when I need it. And yes, I needed to be held a lot more often than normal than most people. And I'm not really too ashamed to admit that. I used to be kind of ashamed. I used to be a little embarrassed about it, but not so much anymore, because I realized that being held is part of my basic needs. It's part of my human needs. And if I'm not getting that after so long without that, when I go without for so long, I start getting what I call withdrawals. I think of it like oxytocin and or dopamine withdrawals. So, like, why do I need them so bad? Like, well, I don't know. I just, without them, I feel empty. I feel empty without them. I feel like, how do I put this? I feel like it's a deep embedded itch underneath the bone that I cannot scratch no matter what I do. Unless somebody finally wraps their arms around me, holds me, and says it's going to be okay. I want that comfort, that baby comfort that a young child gets from his or her mother. I want that deep sense of okayness that I don't seem to get by myself ever, any day, ever. And, like, I can do all the meditation I want, where I can lay on my back and kind of, exert my diaphragm and breathe in and out deeply, practice breathing exercises, right? So, yeah, like, that goes so far, but yet it only goes so far. It doesn't really go that far, to be honest. Like, I realized all that recording was not done on my microphone. I didn't think so. Awesome. So, it's like, anyway, so, I'm not getting that level of oxytocin that I want. One of the main reasons that people like to be held by their partners, to be loved, to be cradled, to be have their hair played with, to be massaged, anything like that, is because of a release of dopamine and oxytocin. Now, our brain has three primary drugs that it gives out, okay? It gives out serotonin, dopamine, and oxytocin, all of which, I guess you could say, are forms of endorphins, am I right? Tell me if I'm wrong. But, these are our brain's ways of naturally getting high. You could be sober as all hell in the middle of a jail cell, but if you're not straight and somebody you like is going to hold you, your brain might release some oxytocin and or dopamine, and that is your brain's natural drug, and without that, we can crave it. We can go through withdrawals, just like any drug. Okay, so like any drug that you develop a tolerance to and have sudden abstinence from, will develop withdrawals. You'll get withdrawals from it. And so that same thing, I believe, applies to the oxytocin you get from cuddling a certain loved one, or the dopamine you get from sex with someone, or the endorphins you get from your favorite sport like running. Any drug you go without all of a sudden causes withdrawal symptoms. And withdrawal symptoms tend to make people do some pretty crazy things. People do little wacko things when they say they go without their drug. All of a sudden, they don't have their drug anymore, and people go a little crazy. I'm going through the same thing. And it's been causing me to lash out, to be honest. I've been lashing out because of it, because I've been missing my oxytocin. And like, it's not exactly you can just go on Grindr and say, well, I want to meet up for cuddles, and maybe no sex, probably no sex, but just cuddles, and we'll call it good for the night, right? Yeah, right. Last time I did something even remotely close to that, I ended up getting robbed, I think. So it's like, these are unrealistic expectations. So how do you get your needs met? Well, you probably don't. You just have to wait. You just have to wait it out, and hopefully it comes by soon enough. And after I go about 2 to 3 months without getting my fix, so to speak, my oxytocin fix, well, I start getting irritable. I start turning into a fucking grouch, right? Just the mic a little here. Yeah, so I start turning into a little bitch. I'm an asshole to people, all right? Like, I'm really not very fun to be around, I can't imagine. Who would want to be around me like then? And what makes it worse is that it's not just going without the actual drug, the oxytocin or the dopamine. It's also the fact that I get rejected. So did you know that the feeling of rejection, especially intimate rejection, is almost equivalent to that of experiencing physical pain? It's almost the same thing as getting physical, actual pain, okay? So like say you slip your toe and you're shooting pain from your toe all the way up through your funny bone or whatever, through your body, and it hurts, and you're pissed off, and you're shouting, and God damn it, motherfucker, and you're pissed off. Okay, it's the same thing when you say, oh my God, finally, will you hold me, will you cuddle me, and give me this this release of endorphins, and they say, no, sorry, you're not good enough. And you get this feeling of rejection, this rejection pain that just emanates through your body and courses without your system, throughout your system, that you just can't get rid of. And like, basically meditation is the only key out of it. Meditation and or exercise, or both. Meditation followed by exercise, or vice versa. And so like, there are ways to fight coping, there are ways to cope, like I just said, as I mentioned some. It's time for tea, my throat hurts, one moment. Okay, so I'm getting tired, so I'm gonna try to make the rest of this short and sweet. So, when we go through withdrawals of something, we turn into a dick, basically. Long story short, we turn into a more rude person because we're not getting our needs met. When our needs are being met, we get irritable, we get angsty. So I've been more of a dick lately. I've been kind of rude. I've been kind of irritable. I've been hurtful. I've been sarcastic and witty at the same time. And I can be very witty sometimes. Not to like boost my own horn, to toot my own horn too much, but like when I want to be, I can be kind of British rude boy style, snarky, I guess. But so yeah, it's think of it this way. I've been more snarky and rude because I haven't been getting my needs met. I haven't been getting my drug fix, my oxytocin fix, my dopamine fix, my serotonin fix. I haven't been getting all these things, these natural love hormones, these chemicals that are secreted from my brain when we feel good, because I have not felt good physically in a while. Even when I try to do hookups, I've tried like two hookups, I can't do it. My body is just not cooperating, which leaves me feeling unfulfilled and full of shame. And shame is another big factor. Shame makes us feel irritable. Shame makes us feel angry at the world and those around us because we don't feel happy with ourselves. All these factor into being a general, really rude person. So think about that. Next time you've been around somebody that seems like they've been angry for a while, they've been kind of moody and off kilter and not very pleasant to be around, think about, when's the last time they got a hug? When's the last time they got snuggled with? When's the last time they had sex? When's the last time, you know, that they have done anything that they wanted to do and they have felt accomplished? Felt accomplished. That whole feeling of accomplishing your needs, getting your needs met, has so much to do with confidence, has to do with anxiety and fear. It's all interlinked. So think about that interaction between anxiety, fear, confidence, you know, general good or bad mood. It's all often linked together. So think about how you're feeling, how everybody else is feeling around you, and think about what it is you guys are lacking, and what it is you guys are having in abundance. Because I guarantee you, what you are lacking in is probably directly correlated to the mood you've been in. Chevy Coon, it was short, less than 15 minutes. Chevy Coon over and out. So I guess in retrospect, you could say that my shadow side is that I exploit, I focus on, and present to people their own faults. I shove it in their face saying, this is what's wrong with you, because I don't want to see what's wrong with myself. I show people their flaws, and I point them out vigilantly. I act arrogant and with a high self-esteem, which is actually the opposite of what it truly is. So I guess my shadow side isn't all that bad. Like, I don't try to hurt people, like, but I get defensive. I get defensive when, especially if I feel attacked, if I feel in any way or form like I am being subjugated or put on display, then I will get nasty, very nasty. I can be rude. I can be rude in a way that you don't even know I'm being rude at first. It takes a while to recognize it. That's the narcissist side of me. These are sides of me I'm willing to explain and point out because I don't like them. I personally, they go beyond my core values. And yet
the shadow side of us is a side that we don't, the shadow side of us is a side that we don't understand we even have sometimes. It took me until now to realize it. I started listening to it on podcasts for just the past like, couple weeks, and I started realizing that I've done this. I've been doing this. And I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with me? Well, a lot. But it's like, what's been done to me is what the real question is. What's been done to me? So take what you will from it, man. Knowing all this, explore your own shadow side. Explore what you have done that's hurt other people. What you've done to hurt yourself and others that you might not have thought about and realized was hurting them. The end. There's one more part to this I'm going to say. Thank you. So, back to the present. So knowing all this, okay, it doesn't matter if you agree with it, it doesn't matter if you identify with it, it doesn't matter if you call me a fucking pussy, because trust me, I'm fucking not. I've kicked some fucking ass in my time, alright? We all have our soft sides. So it's like, that one thing that we desire and crave so much, when we get it and then it's withdrawn from us, and then we're hurt on top of it deeply, it's the lack of comfort plus a deep suffering and pain from that, plus an additional hurt on top of that, something that violates our boundaries, violates our moral views, violates my core fucking values, okay? Something happened to me that violated all my core values by the one person I trusted the most. And it unlocked my shadow side. And now I'm trying to repair. Where we repair from here? Well, that's another story, and I'll figure that out later. This is Chevy Kuhn on the shadow side. This is what I know about it, okay? So, how often do you question the nature of your own reality? That's a deep question. How often do you question the nature of your own reality? Where am I right now? What am I doing? Is it logical? Is it comforting me? Does it make sense to me? Does it make sense to anybody else? Does it make sense on the whole? Is the nature of what I'm doing in life right now morally just? Is it benefiting me? Is it rational? These are questions that we should ask ourselves every so often, not frequently. Don't frequently ask yourself these questions or you'll drive yourself fucking insane. But if you start to think that maybe your life is spiraling out of control, or maybe you think that it's going in the wrong direction, or like you're not treating people right, people are treating, maybe you're losing friends like I've been. Maybe you've been losing friends. Like me. Question the nature of your own reality. Question what's going on here? What's really, truly going on here? All right, for realsies, Chevy Kuhn over and out. Peace.